back today. We're going to be talking with somebody I'm excited to talk with. We've got actual musicians and artists and people who know a lot about hip-hop who've been working in the scene for more than 20 years. Mugs and Pockets, a.k.a. Scarlet Monk and Swamberger, right?
Yeah.
I mess up everybody's name, so don't feel bad.
Oh, no, we good on that.
You guys have some really dope tunes, and you also make a lot of dope art, and I was a little bit blown away. There's a lot of talent coming from you guys. So each of you, what was some of the influences that started you off early in life that led you down this path of the kind of art you do now? Well, who's some of your influences?
Music-wise, for me, was definitely Sly and the Family Stone. Like, mainly because, like, as far as rhythm was concerned, like, they were just in the pocket all the time. You know, that never left, you know, where James Brown had, you know, on the one, like, they could hit you from every direction, for real. And it was something I was always just like influenced by, as well as just heavily excited to hear, you know. It was that element. It was like in the hip hop arena, there was always Freestyle Fellowship. Shout out, you know what I'm saying? Self Jupiter, Mike and Nine, AC Alone, Peace.
Have to name them all.
You know what I mean? Got to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I would probably say, as far as like that thunderous voice, like that command and commitment to, or conviction, to what you were saying, is probably Brother Jay from X-Clan. Mm-hmm. I was really into him, so.
Nice.
And also, he probably won't say, but when he was a kid, he was a Michael Jackson impersonator.
Oh, yeah. Come on. It was always that. And then I guess we could, you know, sprinkle in Billie Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, the way that she would fall behind the beat, Cab Calloway.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of these folks that were scatting and things like this, like they were doing it before our time, you know. So
yeah,
taking from that and being able to, you know, kind of piece together these compositions, you know what I'm saying? I think that's what helped me. And then as far as the actual art is concerned, I carried a lot of the stuff that I heard in music into like the art. One of the biggest influences being Ernie Barnes, you know.
I never heard of Ernie Barnes.
Ernie Barnes is the actual painter. He was a football player, and then they got injured and started doing more the paintings and stuff. He's the one that does the painting for the. What are you about to say?
I'm just gonna say, like, I'm sure you've seen his work.
Oh yeah. He was the one that's Oh shit.
Will be a problem with that. Yes.
He's the one. That you know, the sock hop, the Marvin Gaye.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. What about you? What about on your side?
On my side. So I grew up in Poland on a farm. So
cool.
I kind of just, my very first influences was just whatever I heard on the radio, and I mean most of it was from the States, but then there was also, you know, some Polish music and Polish folk music, lots of accordions and.
I play the accordion. That's good.
I love the accordion. Nice. My dad is the accordion.
I got one. I got a tattoo on my leg of an accordion. I'm an accordion nut.
There you go. Yeah. But then also, like, you know, what came on the radio? So Ace of Base, Madonna, that sort of a thing.
Hell yeah.
And then I guess when I moved to the States, things kind of changed, because then on the radio, it was more like, you know, Tupac, Biggie, Queen Latifah, Lil Kim, Missy Elliott was huge for me. Then when I got to college, that's kind of, I did a music degree. So I did classical singing. So there was lots of, you know, influences there from like different opera singers. But then I was also part of the jazz combo. So the Billie Holiday is the thing that we kind of have in common, because that's the sort of singing we like, where it's just like, basically you hear like the bare soul more than anything, you know, not necessarily any vocal tricks or like the range or the high notes are not the most important thing. It's just like literally she sings. Every time she sings the same song, it's different because whatever is going on with her or around her or the musicians is it's so affects what she sings that it's different every time, which is something I really, you know, appreciate because she's definitely just like a musician. And
that's so
all of that. But then lots of experimental stuff. I did dance. So I did things like experimental theater things. I did like Japanese butoh things where you, again, kind of just completely bare your soul and don't care about showing to the audience, but more like revealing of yourself. And
See, that's really cool because, you know, sometimes hip hop has these constraints on it, like, well, you're biting and you're doing this and you're copying and stuff. But really, the art, you know, that art itself is about incorporating all the different things. And it seems like your stuff does that well. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say, but we still believe in biting. So it's a little bit of.
Yeah,
it's kind of like.
Or nobody
being,
you know,
right.
Trying to be original is, you know,
it's, I guess, you don't want to just like take something and now think, you know, everything about it. You know, if you take something kind of more understanding where it comes from and the richness and like really delving into that culture and kind of respecting the foundation that's there, you know, as opposed to like taking it as a little trinket and be like, I can do that too. Well, you know,
that's what they call it, doing an Elvis, right?
Right.
Basically, yeah. We're not really into Elvising.
Yeah.
No more Elvising.
Nice.
Yeah, we definitely have so many different inspirations from so many different, you know, art forms, cultures, performance styles.
And that's the thing too, is like, you know, with her coming from these different backgrounds and presenting that in hip hop, man, that's just like me going to the store and like finding 15 different records, you know what I'm saying? And putting them all together. Well, it's like, you know, now you got a cultured person like that, that actually does it when she produces, you know what I'm saying? There are certain things, and it tests me as an MC, right? There are certain things where like, sometimes it'll be a different time signature and she won't necessarily know it's actually the different time signature. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'll run to it, you know what I'm saying? And I'll be like, oh, there's something here that, you know what I'm saying, where it's basically like the one again. And she'd be like, oh, really? You know what I mean? And it's in like, so I'll continue and it creates a structure that is totally different than what it is that I would like kind of go into it thinking as. So like, it's like credit to her as far as like the producer and or visionary, you know what I'm saying, of what it is that we do. There are things that she will present, whether they're accidents or on purpose, like we create around those things, you know what I'm saying? And that's the newness that it kind of brings to the music. So it's by chance, you know what I'm saying? If it sounds like something else, that's definitely not intentional, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But most of the time, if not all the time, you know what I'm saying, what it is that I'm hearing as the MC as soon as I go in that booth is, man, sometimes there will be no snare, no kick, you know, and it's just like a bunch of melody or something and like, you know, some maybe like clicks and things like this.
Yeah.
And I think that's what pushes us as Mugs and Pockets.
Yeah. There's a song called 80s Game, which sounds kind of like a video game almost kind of a thing that he just like raps on it like crazy. And that's one of the songs that everybody's like, how are you rapping to that? There's no beat. There's no snare. There's no, like, there's just like all these weaving melodies, but he just like murders it. And when you have an MC that's just like that advanced, you know, when they get something like that with that tests them and they're excited about it, it's like you get some really incredible things. And it's like, does it fit neatly into hip hop? No, but is it supposed to? I mean, with the 50-year anniversary, like how far, like, is it really progressing if, you know, everybody's favorite and, you know, MCs are still from, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just like, we're throwing some things into the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is where it's supposed to go. You're supposed to take an art form and evolve it, you know, because we everybody would be upset that you do the same thing over and over. So we do something new and tweak it and add little extra ingredients and see what happens.
Yeah, but I want to say one little thing about, you know, like the no biting in our case, because we are bringing something kind of new or like. Well, a lot of people are telling us, like, okay, this is unorthodox. This is new. This is fresh. This is starting something, maybe a new wave.
Mm-hmm.
And there already have been people who kind of latched onto that. There was even a group that named themselves something very similar to us. And it was a duo. And they were kind of trying to do things, like, you know, without a beat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, people, our fans, like, squashed that.
Right.
And I think it's... I didn't even like completely understand like why do we want to squash that so quickly?
Yeah.
And a big part of it, you know, as he explained to me and just like I kind of thought about it, is like when something is so new and a lot of people start doing it, by the time the general public maybe hears us, they'll think we're imitating them.
Right.
And it's so like since those versions of the other groups won't be as good or developed or they wouldn't have gotten there with this like richness of experience and culture. They're just kind of like imitating what they hear from their level of understanding. And then if that becomes just kind of like, oh, this thing everybody does, it's like we never kind of get our shine, or we never get to present it how it was supposed to be presented, or what it actually is.
And then you kind of lose that contribution. You know what I'm saying? Like, because again, like I'm excited, not just because I'm working with her, but this is from a person who has been in hip hop. And we learned the whole new thing by way of how it is that we get treated. So if I can go in the hip hop circle and they looking at me like, oh, that's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then, but then, like the thing is like as far as labels and how they utilize these things, like we got put on when I was first doing our when we were first doing our thing before Mugs and Pockets, we got put onto a rock label. You know what I'm saying? Which is how we even met Sage. And so it was like you were too like alternative for the hip hop, you know what I'm saying? But also kind of to hip hop for the alternative. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how we started to learn. And now you got this lane that doesn't necessarily have a home for it. You know what I mean? So we start building our homes. We start building our universe, which hence Mugs and Pockets. And then we call our engineer Buttons, you know what I'm saying? And there's other people that are inside of that, that we have, you know, different characters for.
Yeah.
So we're building it ourselves.
And it is. It's a very cool little universe that you have. And it's all encompassing with all this creative stuff. I mean, everything from shows to talks to you have a class that you give. You even have claymation. You have some like cool clay figurines that you make. I caught up with you guys. I'm watching.
That's good. Beginning of Mugs and Pockets.
That's good.
Before we had, you know, the actual characters drawn, I actually just... went to CVS, picked up some like clay and made them. I was like, this is kind of what I'm imagining.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the very, very beginning.
Cause in coming, like basically designing what it is that we do, and we'll do this in music as well, but like designing those characters, like I'll draw something up and instead of her just trying to talk it out, she'll be like, you know what? This is kind of what I'm doing, you know? And so that's how those claymation, you know,
see, this is the sign. You guys are actual artists in the sense that you could pick up any medium and be good at it. And this is the art of expression. And you definitely are thinking like artists. It's really cool. And it's rare these days. Because like you said, anybody could make a Xerox copy and try to pass it off as the real deal. And they might even get popular. And that's the last thing you really want. You want authentic, artistic people to be on the forefront of creating stuff, especially people that have experience, which, you know.
Because we can then make more of it. What they can do is keep copying that copy because now they have the formula, but we actually can make different things that are just as good, like the golden goose. It's like, they can't. They're just like, that song's a hit. So now everybody scrambles around them, the whole machine. Let's make more like this because this was a hit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you get so much of the same.
Yeah. So and hip hop's got a lot of braggadocio. It's a lot of bragging, and it's a lot. Are there lots of issues with egos and stuff with musicians during your time and your experience within music?
Not that we have experienced, as far as our circle, we kind of have this little bubble, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because amongst us as artists,
we all want the best product to come forward. Exactly. The best art. Yeah.
Exactly. And so once that's done, we move on to the next. Yeah. And as far as being as far as being a leader of that ship, this one right here. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's because it's if somebody's not doing it, I'm just I want to move forward, because I've been trying to do this for so long, and it's not until we met, 2 years ago and Da Vinci, AKA Buttons, I found my people basically, mm-hmm. the first song we did together, I sang Find Your People, because it's I finally met people who speak my language. So for 20 years, I was kind of trying to, the solo album I'm about to come out with, I've been trying to make it for 15, 20 years. And I was just I haven't found the right people. Mm. But now that I did, and everything is falling into place, all this, experience I have, I'm I see where it fits into the grand scheme of things. It's almost the puzzle is coming together. So I'm moving rather fast, because it's over the last 20 years, I've been trying to make this. So now I'm I understand how everything's fits. I see the big picture. So it's moving.
Yeah.
And so if somebody is you say too braggadocio, or if somebody has some ego things happening, or if somebody even is not taking it as seriously, or it doesn't think that this is as special as we know that it is.
Yeah.
They really they have to get left behind, because the project or the song or the art or whatever has to move forward.
Exactly.
So we'll find somebody else to do it. We're not really waiting. I'm not waiting. I am right, so it. I'm so over it.
not waiting at all.
Well, maybe when we were 20, maybe we would put up with something like that. But now I'm too old for that. I just have to say, you know what? Either be nice or get the hell out of here. You know?
This great team, and it's just it will put everybody at a disadvantage if one person is trying to kind of make it about them. It's no, we want to put out the best art possible. We have people telling us it's affecting them in such a way, know, that it's just there's people that okay, this song made me want to call my sister or my mother for the first time in 15 years, things like that. People are really telling us some deep things that are happening, because we think it's such genuine music, birthed from this depth of understanding and experience. And it's just we take it really seriously, but we're having fun too.
Exactly. I mean, that's key.
Yeah.
And you guys just sent me a track that you just recorded. What's the story behind this song, and how was making it? Because it's actually very cool.
Which one was this?
Very contemporary. Let me look real quick.
Yeah.
I was actually shocked, because I thought, oh God, that's really good.
Yeah.
You don't remember which one you sent me?
Well, I've been sending emails since this morning, so.
We have a Halloween EP coming out, so we're now sending that first single out to everybody. I have a solo album coming out. We're sending that first single out to everybody. We're just all over the place.
Yeah.
Just a lot.
So there was Labyrinthine.
Thrive is the one I got.
Thrive, yes. Okay. That's for her solo album.
So that's the first single from my solo album, one that's almost done being mixed and mastered.
Can you tell me a little bit about the secrets about how that was made, and what was the feeling behind that? Because I love the atmospheric sort of, and the lyrics are very good.
Yes. Yeah. So welcome to now my world. So this is from the... we're calling this album Labyrinthine that's coming up. Basically, we're calling it the return of trip hop.
Cool.
Trip hop was one of my, big influences, Massive Attack, Portishead. As far as beats, Amon Tobin was just my favorite. And so basically when I heard trip hop, I was that's the music I want to make, because my type of singing, which was a little bit, lighter, not necessarily the funk soul kind of singing you hear in hip hop. That's kind of where it made sense, because trip hop was my type of voice and singing, but the beats still were head noddy and and kind of like the feel that I liked. So basically, I've been trying to make this album for ever since trip hop was big. It's just that then it kind of like fizzled out, and people started making very pop sounding music and calling it trip hop, which to me kind of lost all of its like depth and emotion and kind of that gloomy dark edge that it had. And so basically this album is that it's like where we feel like trip hop progresses, like the next evolution of where trip hop can be if you make it in a very non-polished, non-poppy kind of genuine way, true to its
Oh my goodness. Like that. And as far as like, no, she's right on that, because like, as far as even trying to mix and master these things, you can't go into it with the very modern mindset. This is like, oh, I'm going to make it super clean. And it's like, you almost have to find the person that has either all of that knowledge about like how they used to mix, or, you know, has like a style that never really like changed up too much. Right. Or the person that like, you know, actually has that vintage gear, but all the stuff today, like if you're moving with the mindset of, you know, just modern technology and modern day America and how like we are kind of used to like, oh, no, more clean and more, you know.
Yeah.
No, we need like, we need more dirt on that. Yeah.
Right, that's exactly.
Yeah, but it's also like you don't necessarily want it to sound like it came out in 2002, right? Right. You want it progress based on like where you know, engineering capabilities and knowledge and sound has come, because it's still going to be played on the radio or in the clubs along other music, you know. So you don't want it to all of a sudden sound old and like
that's the thing. This song that you sent me is exactly that. It's exactly contemporary. It's right in the evolutionary step of where music is going, and you're right on time. And I think I'm listening to the other bands today that were new, and it's exactly on point with like stylistically, and it's awesome, really.
Thank you. Man. It's the whole album that is coming up. I mean, it's like 17 tracks or something. Like this is like literally my life's work, and I'm so glad that he's the executive producer on this one. So for Mugs and Pockets, I produce most of the songs. For this one, since it's my solo album, he's producing most of it. I do some co-production because I just at this point write songs by kind of producing, you know, because I recorded myself and kind of do like the skeleton of the song already. And since I do so many vocal layers, they influence whatever the harmony or the chords are going to be in there. But like he's kind of like the mastermind of like the overall.
Go ahead.
And I was just wondering, the instrumentation and stuff, I mean, you guys do obviously do a lot of sampling and beat cutting, and you got a DJ. Do you ever get instrumentation on there? Do you ever get like a bagpipe player in?
Bagpipes?
We have tons of musicians on this. We have a vibraphonist. We have a two saxophonists. We have a tabla player. We have a conga player.
There's a little bit of trumpet.
A little bit of trumpet.
Just a little bit. That's all. Just a pinch. Yeah. That's all you need.
Just a pinch.
We have five musicians. We have like, cutting. And then we have Beef Wellington is making an appearance, and he's working with some keyboards. Different keyboard stuff.
So we reached back to like, you know, my past, you know what I mean? Brought some of those instrumentalists, you know, into what was happening today. Told them the importance and the value, you know, how it is that we're seeing it. And the people in that bubble, like they all trust it. They all trust the process. They also look at what the songs are and they're like, I think you got something here, you know? So like, I think that's the best part.
And with the sampling part, we're really not sampling much here. He's sampling me. Or I'm sampling myself. So I'll record like an all vocal something and then I sample myself. And then that's used within the beat.
That's cool too. I miss the old samples too. I love the mix of real instrumentation with old school sounds from old records and stuff. I always love that mix in hip hop, you know. And talking about down tempo and what'd you call acid jazz. Acid jazz kind of became down tempo, and then you had jazz hop, but it's come full circle to where this is popular now again. And I thank God, because it was my favorite music growing up was beats. cool beats like Portishead and shit like that, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But also you can see like the kind of like the lo-fi wave, the lo-fi girl or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, a lot of it is just like they have to churn out so much of it so that it keeps playing on 24-hour loop.
Oh, right.
That, you know, that it, yep, it becomes, you know, very formulaic and kind of a thing. So it's like,
that's
we
true.
Love that now. But yeah, I feel like we need a little bit more of the authentic form of that.
Well,
of like,
you're making real music, though. You're making actually like, sounds like a band, not just hip hop anymore, but it's, yeah, it's infused with hip hop. So it's
exactly,
it's
exactly
like a mix of everything. So what's the process like when you send a track to somebody? Do you say, can you send over some tracks and say, hey, can you add something to this? And then they send it back, or do you got to fly them out, or?
Well, okay. I'm going to give you two different examples, basically. There's this guy by the name of Christian Ryan. Shout out to Christian Ryan. He's a saxophonist on this Labyrinthine project, right?
Yeah, he plays a little flute in there, too.
Yes,
he plays like as well. Three different saxophones, yeah, and a flute in one song.
Crazy. So he also appears, one of our other saxophonists appears on the Mugs and Pockets album as well. Mm-hmm. So we got a taste.
Ty Gassick.
That was Ty Gassick. Shout out to Ty Gassick.
What's up, Ty?
Yeah, so you got a taste from that. So when carrying that on over to her solo, I go to talk to Christian Ryan, and I'm telling him a little bit about the process. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, when you hear this music, you know, just this is kind of the spots that I want you to play. This is kind of sort of what it is that I have as like a rough line, you know what I'm saying? And you can go off of that. And so we've played, you know what I'm saying, with together so much that it's like there is that synergy already. And so he goes in there, he'll go in the booth, like he's got the family and everything. So he has to find the perfect time, you know what I'm saying, to do this in. So he did that, right? He ends up listening to the track though, to kind of get the language of it. There have been numerous times where like he's hit me up and like he'll be like, oh man, I missed my exit because, you know, I was listening to her voice and her voice just got in my head and it took me to
like when he was driving, he got lost a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, the music is so like hypnotic that like literally people like tell us all the time they have to pull over their car, yeah, and like,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. It's wild, man.
Careful.
But it's great, right?
Yeah.
But it's great too because like this is also the performance that they end up giving back. And so when we hear it, you know, we'll either take a walk around or something like this and we'll hear it and like, you know, text each other back and forth. Did you hear this? Oh my God.
I mean, these are professional jazz musicians.
Right.
So they're
right,
just like the work we're getting. And I mean, when he lived in Orlando, he performed, you know, live, he would just freestyle or rap to like live jazz bands. So
yeah,
that's why he has so much experience with like different time signatures that,
yep,
that's most MCs don't, you know. And just speaking on that, like, the mood of the album, how it's so hypnotic and whatever. That's why I'm kind of coming out with it as a bundle. So you get that, you get a candle that's called Labyrinthine that we had this candle maker here in Seattle make,
yep,
and also a lyric book. So you can buy like the full bundle and kind of get that whole experience.
Yep.
It's very
shout
like
out
Seattle moody. That's why I needed to come out in the fall.
Exactly,
I keep
exactly
saying like, we have to get this going because this,
yeah,
is not a summer album.
Yeah.
It's not really even, you know, a winter album. Like,
yeah,
I want this now. When the
yeah,
leaves
it'd be
fall
perfect. Like, it would be perfect. Even when I was coming over here, the leaves were falling into the car. You know what I mean? So it's like perfect
it's
to listen.
Like, come
yeah
on.
It's happening. Yeah.
Shout out to Isadora. That's who created the candle for the bundle,
yeah,
deal. And shout out to Barfly, who did the book, the lyric book.
Yeah.
Cool.
We just approved that. So it's now in
yeah
print. So I just can't wait.
Yeah, man.
Yes. So what, geez, you got a lot going on. So what else is on the horizon through all the way up until next year? What are you guys planning on? Are you, and how do you stay so busy? That's what I give me whatever drugs you're on because I need the motivation.
Hey man, finding the right people, first of all, that is key.
So you don't have to do everything. There's
exactly
a lot of delegating we're doing where we're like, we could just have to like check in, but we can trust.
Exactly.
That things are happening.
Maybe
so
maybe I just smoke too much weed. That's my problem.
That could be it because we really don't.
Yeah, we don't at all.
I do like a little bourbon in the evening. Yeah. Just
oh, that's nice too.
After.
it's nice and nice. Smoky. It's
really, exactly, because I like, you know, the Seattle, the moodiness, and I read my book, and it's nice. Not every day, but I'm just I kind of imagine myself as that, like, you know, old professor in the library, just it's a thing.
No.
But, okay, I'm going to just list very quickly what's going on, because I'm very good at, like, organizing
things.
There
you go. Hit us.
My jump here, because he'll, like, say one thing and go off on a whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, which is great. But here's what's going on.
No, you know.
So, we started with his solo album, Tenfold. Then we formed a group, and then the Mugs and Pockets, The Adventures of Mugs and Pockets. So November 1st is actually 1 year anniversary of our first, you know, album coming out. So we're going to do like an all day event. So, you know, come to the Mugs and Pockets Facebook or IG. We're going to go live. We're going to be having little, because we have tea parties when it's like our birthdays and stuff. So online, our fans will send in pictures of them drinking tea and things like that. You know, we might go somewhere to a tea tasting. We do like a very involved with our fans kind of thing. So that's November 1st, 1 year anniversary party all day. Mm. But the night before is Halloween. Yep. So we're actually performing live at High Dive here in Seattle.
Well, Henry Osborne.
Henry Osborne.
Shout out to Henry Osborne.
Yeah, in our link tree, there's a ticket to that as well. So then obviously my solo album is coming out, but before that, Halloween EP. We just released the first single off of that yesterday.
With Self Jupiter.
With Self Jupiter from Freestyle Fellowship, and that's on Bandcamp right now.
Yep.
Because the full, when we release the full EP, which is also getting mixed and mastered, it's done, but that's going to be everywhere. But for now, it's just on Bandcamp, right? So EP. And my solo album, oh my God, I hope it's very soon. But that's coming out, and then we'll have the bundles with the candle and the thing, right?
Yep.
After that, lots of more plans, because we obviously will have the second Mugs and Pockets album. And then we're also trying to do a house album, because we have some house songs on both of the earlier albums.
Chicago influence.
We're up in Chicago. So we're the real deal.
Yeah.
And like, so there's that. But now, I will let him tell you about ARC, because ARC is a very big thing of what we're doing. And that's the animation with Travis Blaze, you know, former Disney animator and whatever.
Yeah.
So
now there's this whole thing, right? There's this whole project.
See, I did it pretty quickly.
That was great. That was great.
I just wanted to get the info out there.
There's this whole project called ARC. And you will learn more about that. That's ARC, this Animal Relocation Colony, right? Mm-hmm. And we're working with Travis Blaze, as she said. Travis Blaze and ourselves have now recently been trying to act on trying to get most of the other artists that we know and have dealt with to be voiceovers for some of these characters. Yeah. Right.
So it's like a hip hop ARC ship.
Right.
We can't really say. There's like NDAs involved and stuff.
Exactly.
But we want people to know about it. But there's things happening.
Yeah. Ooh. So you will see. You will see a lot of that, you know, say happening. Sage is supposed to be one of the voices also. He said that he was down. Yeah. We allowed to say that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's things happening.
Yeah. There are things happening, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate, the cartoon slash, you know, music slash like ultimate art form, right?
We're doing like the music to it. Like we did the theme song and, you know, it's.
That's so cool. That's the high tech. That's my dream. Is to make music and also do cartoons. Yeah.
We're finding out. It's a lot of people's like dream.
Yes.
Like, especially a lot of like hip hop people and MCs. Like, everybody's like, it's always been my dream.
That's kind of where it comes from, right?
Saturday morning cartoon influence. Like, everybody wants to do that.
And the graffiti and the characters with the graffiti, and they just so happen to be, you know, a lot of times cartoon characters we grew up with. And it just goes hand in hand, colors and sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just like that kid like wonder. You remember that watching the cartoons and was like,
I can't fall asleep without listening to like The Simpsons, because it brings me to such a safe, nice place in my past, you know, and I'm like, and I can live.
Yo, that's so wild, man. I'm a similar way.
Really?
The F is for Family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's the one I watch. That's how I go to sleep to that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
See, I can never fall asleep to anything being on. I have a little book. Yeah. Now I'm tired. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a book is like, you know, morphine. You just try to read a couple pages, you're out.
Yeah.
I can barely do audio books. I'm like,
I love books. I love like the real books.
Yeah,
I love the information in them, and once they get in my brain, but the process of reading it, it's like exercising. I gotta push myself.
My favorite part, the reading, is my favorite part.
Mm. Oh really?
Oh yeah.
We got a reader over here. Okay.
Yeah.
You do.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you.
No, well, you know, 54% of American adults can't read past the sixth grade level, so everybody should be reading. Yeah. Read
and
up.
And then, like, sometimes I read out loud because it really helps in case you ever need to read something out loud, or if you, like, suddenly need to do voiceover for a cartoon you're writing.
Yeah.
You got to learn that in acting classes.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things a good teacher will tell you, like, whenever you can, read things out loud, because you don't understand how like difficult that might be when you need to do it in front of an audience or in front of people. You know, really? It's good to practice. No one really practices reading out loud.
Mm-hmm. I try, but yeah. Hey,
that definitely works. I could definitely tell you that it works, because as soon as she's on stage, it's like, yo.
Well, you guys synchronize so well that you guys can actually synchronize these triplets and 16th kind of, you're getting in there and going together. I was a little spooky there.
3D raps, you know what I mean?
3D raps.
Like, you know.
Because those, you watch the car raps, so we were like super synchronized, but then when we actually recorded for songs, there's actually more layers, because then I'll actually sing or like do some of those. So then they become kind of more in depth. So it's not just two layers, it's like layers.
Right.
That's crazy.
Frightening amount of talent sitting in front of me here. I'm a little embarrassed. Yeah. Well, look, you guys come back and do it again. I'll be your fan from now on. I'm going to be hanging on every release. And then every time that you guys want to come in and talk to me, hey, come by anytime. I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm easy going.
Yeah. This labyrinthine, we're like pushing this out to the world with everything we got. So however.
Yeah, that's the big
we
one.
We can spread the word on that. Have like DJs do remixes or just like anything. Get it.
Would love a review if you do those.
I would love a review.
I'll do a review. Yeah. I got a little website. I can throw it up there and tell the folks.
Yeah, man.
I'm always down. But look, you guys are sweet, talented, nice people. Nice. That's the important one. Not too many people are even nice. If you're talented and nice, it's really rare. Talented, yes. Nice, no. Some people are nice, not talented. No, you guys got the full package.
That's how we got our bubble. Because
that's true.
We're holding on to these people that like we want to work with and are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It takes a lifetime to cultivate. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
All right, let's sign off to everybody, and then we'll talk after this too, okay?
Do you know our slogan? Map runs the map.
Sock it to me.
No, map runs the map. MAP, Mugs and Pockets, map runs the map. It's our slogan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always learning. Do you know my slogan?
No, what is this?
Do you know what it is?
don't let your meatloaf. No, I don't know.
Yes.
No, I don't know. Mugs, Pockets, wonderful human beings, fun to talk with. They'll be back when their next album comes out, and we're going to talk some more after this, okay? Shout out. All right, bye to everybody in TV land. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye.
Peace.